Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing and loud chanting of Krishna's holy name, which are pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks and bees. The river's flowing produces a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. Purport. Our tongues always engage in vibrating useless sounds that do not help us realize transcendental peace. The tongue is compared to a desert because a desert needs a constant supply of refreshing water to make it fertile and fruitful. Water is the substance most needed in the desert. The transient pleasure derived from mundane topics of art, culture, politics, sociology, dry philosophy, poetry, and so on is compared to a mere drop of water, because although such topics have a qualitative feature of transcendental pleasure, they are saturated with the modes of material nature. Therefore, neither collectively nor individually can they satisfy the vast requirements of the desert-like tongue. Despite crying in various conferences, therefore, the desert-like tongue continues to be parched. For this reason, people from all parts of the world must call for the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are compared to swans swimming around the beautiful lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or bees humming around his lotus feet in transcendental pleasure, searching for honey. The dryness of material happiness cannot be moistened by so-called philosophers who cry for Brahman liberation and similar dry speculative objects. The urge of the soul proper is different. The soul can be solaced only by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his many bona fide devotees, who never leave the lotus feet of the Lord to become imitation Mahaprabhus, but all cling to his lotus feet like bees that never leave a honey-soaked lotus flower. Lord Chaitanya's movement of Krishna consciousness is full of dancing and singing about the pastimes of Lord Krishna. It is compared herein to the pure waters of the Ganges, which are full of lotus flowers. The enjoyers of these lotus flowers are the pure devotees, who are like bees and swans. They chant like the flowing of the Ganges, the river of the celestial kingdom. The author desires such sweetly flowing waves to cover his tongue. He humbly compares himself to materialistic persons who always engage in dry talk from which they derive no satisfaction. If they were to use their dry tongues to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, as exemplified by Lord Chaitanya, they would taste sweet nectar and enjoy life. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chukshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Shvabalaya Krishna Prishnaya Muttalajmutanandana. So this is a very nice verse by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And the previous verse is also very nice. I'm just going to read it. He starts in the start of the chapter. I offer my obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even an ignorant child can swim across the ocean of conclusive truth, which is full of the crocodiles of various theories. Prabhupada writes, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even an inexperienced boy with no educational culture can be saved from the ocean of nescience, which is full of various types of philosophical doctrines that are like dangerous aquatic animals. The philosophy of the Buddha, the argumentative presentations of the Jnanis, the yoga systems of Patanjali and Gautam, the systems of philosophers like Kannada, Kapila and Dattatreya are dangerous creatures in the ocean of nescience. By the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can have real understanding of the essence of knowledge by avoiding these sectarian views and accepting the lotus feet of Krishna as the ultimate goal of life. Let us all worship Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for his gracious mercy to the conditioned souls. Really, we're focusing on the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his mercy comes in many different ways. Just from these verses, we understand that one of the, you can say, principles by which Lord Chaitanya preached the message of Krishna was to describe accurate philosophy. And Prabhupada mentioned some philosophies which are not considered complete or whole, and even can be considered misleading. The philosophy of Lord Buddha, although spoken by Lord Buddha, is not a philosophy that takes us towards devotional service to the Lord, because the Vedas are rejected. The Lord is rejected as a person, as an object of service. Now the Lord has multiple purposes when he propounds such philosophies, and definitely many other philosophies are given, and you will recognize the names as being advanced persons. Patanjali, Gautam, Kannada, Dattatreya. Dattatreya is a partial incarnation of the Lord himself. That these philosophies are not so conducive for our development, because they inevitably tend towards impersonalism, or a type of religious practice which is can be considered, according to a high standard, it would be considered cheating religion, but it basically is religion conducted for the purpose of material gain. And you will see that is the majority of religion that's practiced in the world today, across all faiths. Majority of people approach the Lord with certain expectations, agendas. Some worship him out of duty. Others are very happy and desire material prosperity and material gain. And that may even be a large component of their prayers and their approach to him. If they don't particularly want material gain, prosperity, pleasure here in this world, they definitely desire it afterwards. Therefore, going to the heavens where you can enjoy with whatever fantasies you have is a key component of many faiths' propaganda. Right? Come and then you can be in the heavens and you can do what you like. And if not, you'll be in hell and you will suffer forever. So this kind of preaching, or you can say propaganda, has its purpose. It's not entirely inaccurate. It's true. But there's something unsatisfactory about it. And certainly when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he demonstrates that the desire to have material enjoyment, whether it's in the heavenly planets or here, is a very feeble goal to have in devotional service. It's very feeble. It's almost something pathetic. Because what's actually available is so much more. The chance to be situated as one of these swans or lotus flowers at the feet of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, is something completely different. That satisfies the soul completely. Heavenly pleasures come, they go. And we know with a little more deep understanding, even from reading something like the Bhagavad Gita, we understand that when our pious activities run out, Shine Punya Marte Loka Vishanti, we come back down again. So the ticket to the heavens is not a permanent ticket, because it's not based on the platform of the soul. It's based upon piety. And piety and impiety come and go the longer we stay in this world. We each build up these balances. Sometimes I compare them to bank balances. You've got a balance of piety and you've got a balance of impiety. In your future lives, you have to run them all down. You have to use them up somehow. And if you go to the heavenly planets, you use up your piety. You go to the hellish planets, your impiety. It's an analogy, but you can see roughly how it works. Of course, going to Krishna's abode has nothing to do with piety or impiety. It has to do with pure devotional service and establishing in our consciousness a pure desire simply to have the Lord in our hearts. And that's why it's a very useful meditation as we come towards Gaur Purnim. Prabhupada speaks here that the tongues are often engaged in vibrating useless sounds. So much chit-chat goes on, right? You can just read any page on the internet. So much gossip, chit-chat. Just turn on the TV. Someone's constantly talking. Constantly. And it's backed up with so much imagery now, which you really didn't need to process in your minds. It really wasn't necessary for the fulfillment of your lives. But this is now how people have put themselves in a zombie state. We're just relaxing in deep meditation on whatever the, we call it the one-eyed guru, the television, whatever the one-eyed guru throws at you. This is something people have learnt to become satisfied with. And it's a problem, because we all know that what comes through these sources is not exactly wholesome, uplifting information. Mostly it's depressing. Another description of some tyrant who's done this, another heinous crime, another new speculation created by those who think they're going to help mankind, but sadly without having any substantial knowledge of what will actually help mankind, or even God as a whole. And then so many persons capitalizing on that, each with their own philosophies, trying to generate some business, someone else trying to sell you something. That's propaganda. And it's not something new. Because even in the Bhagavatam it says, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nranam Santi Sahasrashaha Apashyatam Atmatattam Griheshu Grihamedinam. That these topics, Shrotavyadini Rajendra, he's speaking to King Parikshit, and he's saying in the society of humans, there are many topics for consideration. Shrotam, that which is heard, that which is contemplated. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nranam Santi Sahasrashaha. Hundreds and thousands of topics. Apasyatam atma tattvam griheshu grihamedinam. Those persons who are immersed in these topics, which ultimately do not lead to transcendence, are considered to be grihamedis. Persons who are engaged in a life of temporary enjoyment, ultimately wasting the valuable opportunity of human life. So multiple topics have always existed. And just at the moment, we have different technological means by which those topics are delivered. But they all remain the same as they have always been. Desires to exhibit the ego, to grow the ego. Pride, illusion, madness, anger, desire for wealth. All of these are the typical topics of human society. And so by first of all understanding through Lord Chaitanya's mercy, which topics are useful, by understanding this, we can actually then engage in a process by which we benefit ourselves. And so this is very clearly given. Lord Chaitanya explains that the topics of Krishna are the real topics to focus on. His name, fame, form, qualities, pastimes, these are the topics that will be solid investments for us. They're also very pleasurable to engage in. Because when we think about Krishna, we think about His greatness, we think about His qualities. We think about His naughtiness sometimes. We think about how He manifests this entire universe, complete with all facilities needed for our survival, or our bewilderment, and our pleasure. We just contemplate those. We get an understanding of a person who is far beyond our comprehension, far beyond our fertile imagination even. And this is very, very important, because as it explains in the Gita, that when we actually understand the Lord's appearance, His pastimes, His activities, we then have a chance to return to Him. Because this life is a bit like a practice run. It's a test. What do we actually like? Ultimately, whatever happens to us in our life depends upon what we like and what we dislike. And if we have certain ambitions, certain likes, dislikes that are not fulfilled in this life, we will come again and experience them. You may look back at your life and you think, oh, something went wrong here, my job, it went wrong because of this person or that person, my relationship went wrong, next time it will be better. Well, our Krishna, using our karma as an agent, will say, fine, have another go. Next life, try it again. But you know what, next time? There'll be different circumstances. Probably something else will go wrong next time. It'll be a different experience, different setting, different people, but your same desire will be there. So we can see ultimately that it doesn't really lead anywhere. Even if we completely succeed in fulfilling our ambition, what then? What then? Some people have bucket lists, right? And sometimes on the streets you can stop people and ask them, what is your bucket list for life? What would you like to do? And they say things like, I would like to bungee jump or skydive, or I'd like to go to the tallest tower, or I'd like to maybe go up in a balloon or get a ride on the space shuttle or something or other. And then you can think, okay, and then after you've done that, then what? They'll say, then I'll want to do something else. You see, it never really ends. And as Prabhupada says, that because there are so many topics and so many different forms of expression, and they've been going on since the beginning, they haven't actually satisfied us, which is why the parched, desert-like tongue continuously needs something more. That's the real problem with it. That anything in this material world, any concept, any desire, even if you fulfill it, it doesn't fully satisfy. Sometime later, your desire has expanded, it's altered. And therefore, developing a desire to be situated at the lotus feet of the Lord is the safest program. It saves us a lot of trouble. It saves us birth, old age, disease, death, being around people we don't like, don't want. All the troublesome situations, circumstances in our life are simply lined up, waiting to happen again next time around. So the only solution really is to take shelter of the lotus feet, because then we get a chance to go to His abode. And what is there to be found in His abode? Well, we know there's enjoyment. But what kind of enjoyment? There's enjoyment where we serve the Lord. We try to act for His pleasure. We try to do things to bring Him happiness. We work with devotees to bring the Lord enjoyment. So many elaborate arrangements are made in the spiritual world for the Lord's pleasure. And this introduces us to a little secret of devotional life. That if we want to serve the Lord and become close to Him, we have to learn to take shelter of and to interact with the devotees. Because that is a very, very important aspect of Lord Chaitanya's teachings. We know when Durvasa Muni was engaged in his problematic Sudarshan Chakra adventure. You know, he was engaged in being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra by Lord Vishnu because he had offended Ambarish Maharaj. Then at the end of it, you know, different things are spoken. And the Lord explains to him, Aham bhakta paradino yasvatantra ivad vicha sadubir grasta radayam bhakter bhakta janapriyaha aham bhakta paradino. He explains that there is nothing superior for me than my bhakta. I have no independence actually. I have no independence. I cannot act independently. I can only serve my devotees. Now the devotee is never thinking that the Lord will serve them. The devotee is thinking, how can I render service to the Lord? The Lord is thinking completely the opposite. He's thinking, this is my devotee who has conducted their whole life, sacrificed their life, directed their life towards me. I can't think independently. And therefore, he's constantly thinking of the devotees, even if he's in different circumstances. And so we know that when Lord Krishna goes to Dwarka, at night he's still thinking, dreaming of the gopis in Vrindavan, whose devotion and focus on him is of a different level. Different level to maybe anything he experiences in Dwarka with its mood of awe and reverence. So the Lord is at night talking to the gopis, and his wives, his queens are wondering what's going on. Who's he talking to? That's Krishna. Because the topmost devotees occupy a special place in the Lord's heart. And at all times, yes, he has to deal with so many things. He has to deal with the creation. He has to deal with the demigods offering him prayers. But he doesn't find that overly attractive. He does that because that's a natural reciprocation between him and his servants. But what he finds more attractive and what he himself chooses to meditate upon is the qualities of the devotees. And therefore we know that to get to Lord Chaitanya, we have to approach his devotees. In fact, he obviously gave the example of devotional service through his own behavior, through his numerous teachings. They're there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he specifically instructed his devotees to write books. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, then Jiva Goswami and others. And they wrote all these books on devotion. Yes, the Lord could have done it himself. He's not really interested in that. Just as in the In the Mahabharata Leela, when he speaks to Arjun, he says, Arjun, declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. He could say that himself. But he says to Arjun, you declare it, because then it will be true. Because people might not believe me. But they know one thing, that I hold my devotee with great regard. So if you say it, it will become true. So similarly, the Lord engages Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, so many others, great acharyas to come later even, Narottam Das Thakur and so many others. He engages them, empowers them with such great divine, you can say, force, that they're able to conduct his work on his behalf. And that's the way the Lord likes it. Because he never likes to be alone. He never likes to be seen as being alone. He likes to be with all his bhaktas. And that is one of the most merciful gifts that the Lord gives us. He gives us access to his devotees. He teaches us very clearly what is accurate philosophy, as I said earlier. What is accurate philosophy? What counts as speculation? What counts as something that is substandard? Because that is also mercy. Mercy does not mean that one is nice to everyone and says only comfortable words that they would like to hear. Right? Some people have this idea that one should only just be nice to everyone and agree with whatever they say. That's actually a great disservice. Because if someone is very much determined to continue doing something that is highly harmful to them, and obviously within this life we have that experience, and we know that that's not something to encourage, that's something to be corrected. Now imagine how that continues life after life. When everyone is engaged in the topics of materialistic association and sense gratification, that is something that really needs correction, because that will lead to more suffering forevermore. So the devotees do present accurate philosophy. And Lord Chaitanya was very clear. Worship of Krishna, worship of the Supreme Lord, has to be done in the mood of the topmost servitors of Lord Krishna. It is not done according to someone who propagates philosophy that is just for their own business purposes, maybe. That's how a lot of philosophical discussion takes place. It's done. A person thinks, I will make an agenda. I will create a following for myself. I will create a certain group. I'll give it some transcendental sounding name. Krishna is kind of in the background or even left out altogether. And therefore this becomes simply one of the agents of cheaters and the cheated. There are lots of people in Kali Yuga wanting something cheap, where they don't actually really want to scrutinize and get the essence. And there's an army of people, an industrial empire of people that is prepared to supply them with all the cheating philosophy they would like. So it is very important, as devotees of Krishna and as followers of Srila Prabhupada, that we understand the philosophy accurately. Because that is a trait that has been there in our Gaudiya Parampara. It's been there very strongly from the six Goswamis, from Baladev Vidyabhushan, from all our Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji, Gorkishore Das Babaji, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I mean, what level of purity of philosophical presentation did he follow? He wouldn't tolerate any nonsense at all in terms of philosophical deviations or speculations. And then Srila Prabhupada is following in those footsteps. And so it's important that we are also accurately situated. Because the number of distractions, temptations, or you can say diversionary propaganda that we will encounter in our lives is simply going to increase. As people's materialistic lives become more difficult, they will come up with newer and newer ways to deviate others who are trying to move away from materialistic life. And unless we are strong and unless we know what actual philosophy is, very clearly, we are likely to be deviated by it. So we should spend some time understanding carefully what our Siddhanta is. For some people it can be a little bit of a chore, but we should do it to some degree, we should all do it. Because ultimately we can only follow rituals, a practice, even a process like chanting the holy name, if we understand the importance of it. If we don't understand the importance of that process in connection with Krishna, we may do it for some time, just as an activity, just as something we did because I heard a class in the Bhaktivedanta manner and they told me I should chant. But how long will it last if you don't have your own conviction? Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki. So Lord Chaitanya gives us these things. He gives us these gifts. His mercy manifests in accurate philosophy, in his devotees. These are just two of the items. And he also demonstrates to us the actual practicality of chanting the holy names. Because it can be seen as a process, but it sounds very difficult to chant continuously. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. What does this mean? It may even seem something impractical for us, maybe just some exaggerated words that are there just to inspire us. But it's actually possible. And therefore Lord Chaitanya did that too. He demonstrated that. He realized people in this age of Kali, Durdeva Midrisha Miha Jani Nanu Raga, I have no taste for the holy names of the Lord. Even though, Lord Krishna, you have invested all your potencies, I am so unfortunate I have no taste for it. That's the situation of everyone. So the Lord says, okay. And he chanted continuously. Not only he, Advaita Acharya, chanted continuously just in order to evoke the Lord's presence. The Lord, when he appeared, he arranged such a circumstance that everyone in that district of Nadia was in the Ganga, chanting, Hari, Hari, to ward off the effects of the eclipse. Right? That's the Lord's trick. So he wanted his arrival to be preceded with chanting. He wanted everyone around him to be chanting while he was appearing in this world. And then he would only stop crying on multiple occasions, and this is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, when the ladies who were looking after him would chant the names of Krishna. Before that he'd be screaming and crying, but he'd only quieten down when they would chant the holy names. So he would demonstrate his actual preference. His preference is to chant the holy name. And then, the Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur, chanted continuously. This is another example of the Lord engaging his devotees in practices of Krishna consciousness, doing his work on his behalf. Because it's the supreme activity for everyone. And that chanting includes so much. It includes discussion of the form, the qualities, the pastimes of the Lord. The holy name directly. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took a vow to chant 1 billion names of God. 1 billion names of the Lord before he began his Gaudiya Math and extensive preaching. Can you imagine that? That's a serious undertaking. That should give us an idea of the gravity of the chanting of the holy name. Now some of us, you know, different aspects of chanting may be easier than others. Maybe some of us are not such great singers, or, you know, maybe we don't have the steadiness of mind to be focused on the holy name in japa all day long. The whole spectrum of chanting the holy name is still available to everyone. Chanting, hearing, reading, talking about the Lord, preaching the glories of the Lord. This all comes under the category of kirtan, the category of engaging with the holy name. Ultimately, that holy name is offered to Lord Krishna for his pleasure at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. So these are different gifts of the Lord which come into this category of mercy, which is one of the topics we're focusing on in this lead-up session. Now what's also very interesting, and I was thinking this the other day, that Lord Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. But as we know, he appears as Lord Chaitanya because there's something he doesn't get to taste. He doesn't get to taste the enjoyment experienced by Srimati Radharani. Because she's engaged in pure selfless service to Krishna, never thinking about herself for a moment. But Krishna sees that she experiences complete ecstasy. She experiences much higher pleasure than he experiences, and he's the supreme enjoyer. Now that's a mystery. That's a mystery for him. So then he decides to come as Srimati Radharani and he acts as a devotee. Right? So as Krishna is constantly glorifying the devotees, even this verse I mentioned, Aham Bhakta Paradhino, so many others there are. He's constantly glorifying his devotees. Now he actually comes as a devotee. Just so people don't say, okay, it's easy for you to say, you're the Supreme Lord. Everyone else is a devotee? Fine, they can be a devotee. You'll remain the Lord. You can encourage everyone to do that. He says, all right, I'll show you. So he comes as Lord Chaitanya, as a devotee. Not the Lord. He doesn't like to be addressed as the Lord in the majority of that leela. There are only a few occasions when his confidential companions or during the Mahaprakash leela, he actually directly is the Supreme Lord in those pastimes. The vast majority of the time, he's just a devotee. Just a devotee. And so interestingly, and this is what I was thinking, that as a devotee, he now enters that realm that he's always speaking about, that my devotee is most dear to me. So by becoming that devotee, and by adopting and fully manifesting the mood of Srimati Radharani, he somehow manages to please himself. It's a very interesting aspect to the Lord's pastimes. We think that there is an extra object that we can please. Or we can sometimes even think that my satisfaction depends upon externals or something other than me. And this consciousness is there because we are limited. But now imagine if you are the Supreme Lord. There is nothing beyond you. The only truth is Krishna. There is actually nothing beyond you. Everything that exists is Krishna. So what will you do? You have to turn to Krishna. Krishna has to turn to Krishna to experience ever-increasing levels of enjoyment. And we do understand his enjoyment is ever-increasing. Radha and Krishna and the devotees have a pastime, and it brings them great joy. And then the next day they have another pastime, where they do something even more joyful. And so it always increases, never-ending. So this is very, very interesting. It's not an ego-based thing that the Lord serves himself. It's something where we have to understand the tattva very carefully. The tattva is that ekala ishvara krishna arasava britya. There is one Supreme Lord, everyone else is his servant. And if you are the Supreme Lord, you can't go to the shop to buy a gadget that will make you happy. You are complete and full in yourself. So this is maybe one dimension or one way we can think how the Lord once again gives us a gift through his appearance by teaching us how to be a devotee. And what a devotee. Just the Chaitanya Charitamrita is full of the Lord being a devotee. If you want some details of the topmost ecstatic expressions of being a devotee, just read the Antya Leela. Read his pastimes in the Gambira. Read about his consciousness. Read about how he conducts himself throughout the rest of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's something truly special. So as we're heading up to Lord Chaitanya's appearance on Sunday, we have a few more days. Saturday, one more day left, and then the Lord's appearance. So let's focus on some of these qualities. Thank you. Let's see if there are any questions or comments. Okay, Prajan Prabhu, and yourself.
First I'd like to apologize for my condition. I'm completely exhausted, and my inattention, my body's just doesn't pay attention to itself, and so I want to thank you though that I'm here still. You're still illustrating to us the glories of the Holy Name in such a way I can somehow know that I'm missing it because I'm just a fool. It's a thing. So. If you excuse me, I really have to go as soon as possible before I make a fool of myself in front of everybody. But it was a fantastic lecture. And just hearing Prabhupada's purports It's like bathing in nectar. How is he so good? How is he perfect? You know, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and his devotees.
Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki, jai. Thank you, Prajan Prabhu. Yes, we are materially exhausted, right? That's, you may be feeling physically exhausted. We all do that. But to be fully materially exhausted in the sense of, I've had enough of it. I've had enough of the operating principles of this material world based on envy and acquisition. And that itself is a major step towards wanting the realm of the Lord. There's a different set of criteria altogether. A different set of laws operating. Desperately need that. But thank you for your long-standing presence, Prajan Prabhu. It's greatly inspirational. It's just as Lord Chaitanya demonstrates how it is to become a devotee, so the followers of Srila Prabhupada also demonstrate that it's possible. And certainly I've always been inspired by seeing examples of persons who directly, in today's modern world, demonstrate devotion to Krishna. Without that, it can be just theory. We definitely need that example in order to fully manifest our propensity to serve. So thank you very much for just being that example also, for so many years. It's amazing. Thank you. Bishal, you had a hand up? You had a question? No? Someone? Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you for the class. I just wanted to ask a question about... So you know Krishna is... He's a supreme, eternal. Then I just wanted to understand how does Radha, Radharani, she becomes manifested as non-different from Krishna at the same time. That I know it's like quite complicated maybe, but I don't know if I... Just maybe something on that.
Yes, well, Radha and Krishna are one, it's described. But for the sake of eternal pastimes, they have separated themselves eternally. For the sake of the topmost enjoyment. So Radharani and Krishna are not the same. Krishna is the source of all enjoyment. The energy and the energetic is the energetic, right? Source. The energy, the Shakti is manifested through Srimati Radharani. So the Lord is the enjoyer and she is the enjoyed because she knows how to give pleasure to Krishna. The topmost pleasure. She knows how to please him. And that's how you have that wonderful exchange. And ultimately the tattva is Vishnu tattva. The tattva is Krishna. And so when we say Krishna, we include Srimati Radharani automatically, normally when we speak Krishna. But at least in our tradition, very uniquely, very accurately and with great substance, we learn to worship Radha and Krishna from the beginning. It is not just a god who is just male or even is kind of something else. These two fundamental concepts are there in our Siddhanta right from the beginning. They are the divine tattva. And of course in our Gaudiya Parampara we emphasize this because in certain other philosophical expressions, you know, there are more different details as to whether the role of the Shakti is actually a Jiva role or whether it is a Vishnu tattva role. That is a subject for much debate also. But Lord Chaitanya very clearly demonstrated that yes, the full internal potency, the full pleasure-giving potency, the Ladini Shakti of the Lord. And the Lord's own potencies are innumerable also. Vast. Paresya Shaktir Vividhai Vishruyate Svabhaviki Jnana Balakriyacha. Multiple, multiple energies and Shaktis. We can sometimes give names to a few of them and describe them and have some discussion on them. But they are innumerable. And so the feminine form, Srimati Radharani, who is the fountainhead of all the other Lakshmis, and gopis, she is the pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. And that, as we mentioned, just through that interaction, brings her so much pleasure, more so than is actually experienced by the one who receives pleasure. That's the That's always the interesting little twist you find with spiritual life. What you think conventionally will be the case isn't the case. You wonder how the gopis, who are basically stunned and do not know how to function after Krishna leaves Vrindavan, how they experience anything other than deep distress. You simply cannot understand that if you don't know the mood of the gopis. Yes, to external observers, it looks like they're in trouble. They cannot function. Krishna's gone. He left without telling them even. He just wandered off, didn't come back, promised them he'll come back. But internally, what's going on in their minds is something else altogether. And so these things are not always clear and obvious according to the situation presented. But suffice it to say that by the mercy of Srimati Radharani, we can get the mercy of Krishna. And the topmost activity for us is to worship Lord Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya has come with the mood of Srimati Radharani, so we worship him, and we get the combined benefit of worshipping Radha and Krishna. That's another nice meditation. And if you really want the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's very handy to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. In some way, Lord Chaitanya places Nityananda as a gatekeeper. That if someone does not show proper worship and respect to Lord Nityananda, they're not allowed to come close to Lord Chaitanya. And you know what the way to get Lord Nityananda's mercy is? Someone told me recently, the way to do that is to find a Jagai and Madai and preach to them. That's what Lord Nityananda does. That's what he likes. So, if you're not up for that immediately, then start with someone who's, you know, devoid of knowledge of Krishna. Start with that. And then just go into central London or anywhere and you'll see plenty of them. You know, you go to up and down the country distributing books. You meet so many of them every day. That's the way to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. By Lord Nityananda's mercy, you get access to Lord Chaitanya. And then Radha and Krishna are available for you to be one of the lotuses, one of the swans. That whole realm is opened just by this process. Is that okay?
Yes. Thank you.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu, for the class. I was wondering, in the purport, it's saying that the mundane topics of art and culture and poetry is, you know, they have this qualitative feature of transcendentalness in it, of transcendental pleasure, even though they are covered by the material modes. Yes. They are saturated. So how can this be? How can it be both at the same time?
Because the essence of everything is spiritual reality. Even the sare gama padani, so these are originally tones which are spiritual in nature. But you know what we do with those tones? We produce a whole range of expressions which are anything but devotional. Underlying everything in this world is the energy of the Lord. Right? I am the sutre manigana iva, I am the hidden, I am the essence, I am the, you know, the fragrance of the earth, I am the light of the sun, the cooling rays of the moon, the taste of water, whatever it is. Anything that is enjoyable by us has its essence in Krishna. It's just the way it manifests here, it connects to our senses. Because there can be nothing of any value without Krishna. And so it is there, it's always Krishna. But just the way we interact with it, we see it as an object for my enjoyment. That's when it all goes wrong. But the moment we switch that and start to see that as an item to be offered for Krishna's pleasure, it becomes fully wonderful. So we have also, you know, in the Bhagavatam, of course, it's described Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, you know, Atta Pumbir Dvijashreshta Varanashrama Vibhagasa Swanushtitasya Dharmasya Samsi Dirharitoshanam. Anything that we do through our occupation, all our duties of life, its purpose is Samsi Dirharitoshanam, ultimately to give pleasure to Lord Krishna. If it doesn't do that, it's considered Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, waste of time. However elegant or however vast it is, people these days build bathrooms which are more palatial than maybe temples sometimes. What goes on there? You know, not the most elevated activity. But you see, misplaced loyalties, or misplaced priorities, you can say. So it can be the most beautiful, elaborate construction, But if it is underpinned with a theme of atheism, when Krishna is not allowed, what is the point of it? What is the point of it? Oh, Bhattasva Pachoto Garihanya Jivagre Vartate Namatupyam. All these people whose tongues are not chanting the holy name. What is the value of it all? Ultimately, all of that will decay, fall away, be gone. But if there is a modest house, a modest place, a modest offering, but it is surcharged with Krishna's service, that is eternal. That's that devotee's eternal ticket. It's a different character. So here, specific things are mentioned. Art, culture, politics, sociology, philosophy, poetry. Now just imagine, these are all the ways of expressing our own philosophy and culture. Lord Chaitanya emphasized so much dancing and chanting. So all of these, art, you can express. Just look around you. This is art. Windows into Vrindavan, Prabhupada said. Culture. Well, culture is very important because, and it's especially important because it's disappearing very rapidly. Very rapidly it's disappearing. What is considered culture is being derided by the next generation. Why do we have to do this? No, we'll just do something that makes us happy. But culture isn't something that's debatable. It's something that is a foundational part of the philosophy also. We shouldn't choose just the bits we like. So if we now learn what the culture of devotion is, how do the saintly persons in the Bhagavatam behave? We get an idea of culture. How does King Parikshit behave? How does Shukadev Goswami behave? How does Queen Kunti behave? How does she conduct herself? How does Draupadi behave? How does Gandhari behave? How does Ambarish Maharaj behave? You know, that's how we learn culture. Politics. Yes, politics is there. Sociology, dry philosophy. Our philosophy is not going to be dry. It's juicy. Juicy and relishable. And poetry. Yes, the whole Bhagavatam is poetry. Just the verse we read today, a composition by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. What elaborate poetry is there just in that verse? So yes, we won't be bereft of any of these things. Alright? Anything else? Alright, well, I wish you all a very nice Gaur Purnim festival, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki.